Hello and welcome back to Hola Bonjour Konnichiwa. I nearly forgot the name of our own podcast there.
how could we forget the name of our own podcast when we've been contacting people all day? Tell us why, Lorna.
Yeah, well, we haven't been contacting people all day. Well, we have.
Oh, I have. Okay. I have. I've gone through my entire WhatsApp contact list telling
us. Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Did really have you?
Yeah, no, really. Yeah.
Okay. So what happened was, right, normally, before we do the podcast every week, so we're recording the podcast tonight, obviously. So normally I'll go on and I'll see how we did for last week, you know. So I check in where we are in the charts. And by the way, we are, I wouldn't say extremely popular, but we're in the charts in United Arab Emirates. So, you know, whoever is listening over there, you'd want to be extending the hand of friendship now and be offering us a holiday because, you know, we'll take it. But as I was doing that anyway, right? You know, we've been on to you for the past couple of weeks about the Irish Podcast Awards, and the listener's choice category is open. And we were asking you, you know, if you want, could you vote for us, whatever. So I came across an article today that gave results, early results of the listener's choice awards. Now, you can still vote until the 19th of October. And the top 15 podcasts were announced, and you'll never guess who was in the top 15. Only myself and Audrey there. Hola, bonjour, konnichiwa. So, as you do, I thought it was like a scam article or something. I was like, that can't be real. Like, so I was a bit kind of sus, like, until I went digging a bit deeper. And then I WhatsApped Audrey and I was like, is this real? Like, and turns out it is real.
It is real.
Yeah, we are in like the top 15 for the listener's choice. And honest to God, I'm shocked. I'm totally shocked, but I have to say a huge, huge thank you to anyone that has voted, because literally, Audrey, you and me, we do this on Zoom. We don't have a studio. We don't have a production team. We don't have funding or anything. We are literally doing all this ourselves, and we set the time aside, you know, every week, and we're trying to put a bit more work into it. And, you know, we're genuine. We're literally coming on, having the chats, and, you know, I just want to say a huge thank you to anyone that's listening, and especially to anyone that's voting. And please, please, please go over and give us another vote there just for the 19th of October, because I swear to God, we will actually pass out if we win it.
Seriously.
Now, I don't think we're going to win it, right? I don't think we're going to win it, but like, just to be nominated is, I'm telling you, I'm going to get medals made for us, Audrey. I think we deserve
I think we should have merch. I want to have t-shirts. When you sent me the article earlier, that I had to read it a few times, because in the top 15 are some, obviously, but some very well-known popular podcasts. And I was like, no flipping way are we even listed alongside these podcasts. Like, I was well impressed. I literally went through my WhatsApp and I went and sent it to everybody. I sent it to everyone. I was like, look, I'm shook. We're in the top 15. Vote for us, vote for us. So
I'm still funny about it. Even just before we pressed record here now to record the podcast, I was like, I said to you, I was like, are we 100% sure now this isn't a scam? Like, this is real, isn't it? This is real. But it's like, you don't win a big fancy prize or anything for this, but it's just to know that it's not something, that it's coming from people that are actually listening to us, that it's genuine listeners, people who are enjoying it and giving us a vote. And the fact as well, I think we're feckin' unreal for doing this. We're only doing this a couple of months. We're winging it every week. Like, there's some weeks there where, like, this isn't planned or scripted or edited or anything like that. We don't edit, because it's like, you know what we say is what we say. We're being honest. It's honest conversations, you know. And I'm well shocked. I'm very proud of us, Audrey. Very proud of us.
But we have got better. Don't sell us short, because we have got better at even researching our topics and making sure that we're covering kind of different angles of an argument. So we're getting there, we're curating our skills, like we're improving with every week that goes by. But honestly, to anybody that has taken the link from our Instagram, I mean, there's a few steps involved, so I really, really do appreciate anyone that has gone to the trouble of following those steps and voting for us. Like, it means so much. Plus, Lorna, if we were to be shortlisted, it would mean we'd have another excuse to get Sparkly Guna on. And
God, no, don't be putting that pressure on me now. I hate the thoughts of that. Like, God, like, I want to go in my pajamas. If I can't go in my pajamas, I'm not going.
I'll lend you one of my electric picnic outfits.
Thanks very much. Yeah, Yeah, definitely stand out in one of them anyway.
Well, thank you anyway, sincerely thank you.
Yeah, that's brilliant, and thanks very much. And just so you know, voting is still open until the 19th of October, so we would absolutely love if you could go over and just give us a little vote. Now, this is where I'm sorry that I didn't call the podcast, you know, ABC podcast, because you have to put in the name of the podcast. So it's Hola, H-O-L-A, comma, space, and just type in Bonjour, B-O-N-J, pop up. And you just have to put in your email and confirm your email, and that's it then. Your vote is done. So we'd really, 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 really appreciate that. And if we win, lads, if we win, we'll take
Have a party to celebrate. I think we should host a celebration party if we win. What do you reckon?
Yeah, like in between Dublin and Cork, like the horse and donkey, somewhere really cool like that.
Or in the Midlands, that mythical place the Midlands. That you didn't know was real.
Westmead? Oh yeah, listen, it's all happening. So if you want to go to a party, then you know what you have to do. You better start nominating us. But anyway, let's move on from that now, because we're getting a bit too septic now for ourselves. This week... My God. Now, first of all, I just want to quickly say thanks very much, because our last week's episode, we were talking about the school places and, you know, all the hassle that goes with it, trying to find a school place for Charlie and autistic children, right? But I got so many messages, and it was just very, very much appreciated. And it was messages of support. It was messages of people feeling the exact same as me. People, you know, the places are extremely limited. It's very tough on parents. It's tough on the kids and everything. But I just want to say thanks very much for all the support on that as well. I'm not going dwelling on that, because we'll just wait and see what happens with all that. But it's nice to know that, you know, I'm not on my own feeling like this, like, because last week, honest to God, was one of the most stressful weeks for me. Like, I had that was grand. I was sick. Do you know when everything just happens one after the other? And it was one of those weeks. And when I put it up on Instagram, the amount of messages I got, and people were saying, like, oh my God, is it the moon? Is it this? That everyone's
playing. Yeah. And because even you, I was the same.
Yeah, you weren't either, no?
I had an awful week last week, and I won't go into it, but like, I literally went to work and cried. I was so embarrassed. And thank God there was just one girl who I know her well enough. Like, but like, we were on a Zoom chat. I think she may have said those terrible words. What are the words that will make all women cry? Are you okay?
Yeah.
And the minute she said, are you okay? I was like, absolutely no. And I just hung up on her on the Zoom call. Like, I just hung up, I clicked leave. And then I just kind of barricaded myself into a meeting room until I knew I could sneak out. And I was exhausted. I was a bit sick myself. I was emotional. I was all of those things. But you're right, because I obviously came on here. I think I coined the term that I was in a charcoal place. I wouldn't have exactly called it a dark place. It certainly wasn't a bright place. I ran with charcoal. And loads of people messaged me as well, say, what the hell, me too. Like, there was so many people that were like, there's something going on, like, and I don't know, time of year, changing the weather, it's gone very dark. And I know that does have, that really impacts people's moods as well.
But
there was a lot. So look, people are wonderful. Like, it's always very touching, like, when people kind of get reached out to you and they're relating to you on something that we've said here, like, and if we are in any way relatable, just know, if nothing else, you're not alone. We're all kind of
moody.
Just doing our best. Moody. We're all just doing our best every day. Like, it was my birthday. Yeah.
I was just going to say happy birthday. Audrey was 50 this week. Oh, God help us.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, she's,
I was like,
madder than Botox, like, but you're looking well.
Nearly blocked you on Instagram the other day. Like, the neck of her. Well, I'd been in this fouler charcoal mood the whole week. And I was like, right, my birthday, I'm going to shake it off. Come on now. So I put a bit of tan on the Friday night. I booked my hair in for Saturday morning. I was like, I'm going to get up. I'm going to have a shower. I'm going to get my hair done. I'm just going to always have to, you know, the 3-day reel. On the third day, she rose again. This was right. Okay, this is what we were going to do. Did it. Tanned, got up, had the shower, to the hairdressers. Had a lovely time. Always do. Had a lovely time in the hairdressers, chatting away. Looked all fab. Came home. I was like, what's the plan? There is no plan. I'm sorry. There is no plan. Did you not all know that it was my birthday? I'm waiting for the fanfare. Like, I'm literally like, where is my parade?
My parade.
What is going on here? So I'm like, that's okay. My mom's not going to let me down. I'll call over there and see what's happening. I call over, waiting on the balloons, the fanfare. No balloons. What's going on? There's an emergency. Well, what's the emergency? Lola, my sister's dog, had, she's fine now, by the way, spoiler alert, in case everybody gets all concerned and thinks I'm very self-involved, right? She's back in grand.
Audrey, why would we think you're self-involved? Like, how old are you? And you were expecting a parade and balloons and bunting.
I wanted a parade. I wanted a balloons. I wanted a national day of service. Like, so there should have been. Anyway, Lola the dog had eaten some plastic and she was puking and shitting like there was no tomorrow. And she'd gone to the vet. The vet suggested she may need surgery, which sent my sister off the absolute deep end because she's very invested in the dog. And then she's all having an emotional breakdown. And I'm like, what about my emotional breakdown?
And it's my birthday.
It's my birthday. So anyway, then Dave had to take her over to another vet in UCD where it turns out like animal A&Es are just like people A&Es and that they just leave you sitting there. And they sat there for like 6 hours or something. Before
Stop, really?
They got sick. Yeah, I swear. Well, I'm the whole time like, where's my cake? Like, no one even gave me a present because they're all off having an emergency. And I'm texting Dave going, I'm having a birthday sandwich here now. I'm sending them pictures of me eating a fucking ham sandwich. I was like, this is the shittest birthday ever. I was not dealing with the situation very well, and I was like, what's even wrong with the dog anyway? And then they suggested maybe she might need surgery. Well, the Saoirse one, it was like the dun 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 moment in an episode of EastEnders. Like, she was in hysterics. I'm a second class citizen on my own day. Anyway, didn't the dog have to stay in overnight for observation, which sent Saoirse off spiraling. Like, she's like, she wait awake all night long pining over the dog. But for the dog, now look, the dog's fine, right? It's completely fine. It had a great time. It went off there.
It had a great time. Yeah,
it looks 10 years younger. Oh yeah, it's the orange plastic out the back end. Yeah, it eventually just.
I doubt Lola had a great time passing a lump of plastic. I doubt she had a great time.
She shouldn't have eaten it in the second first place, but she came out looking very flushed, lovely, healthy complexion. I haven't had the flu since, and she looked well. And she'd a few little bald spots, and I think they suit her, to be honest with you. I think she looks great. And she came home anyway, and she was fine. And so yesterday, we got to celebrate my birthday finally. And like anyone that's tuning out of the podcast now, thinking I'm being unreasonable, so all I ask for is one day a year that everybody dedicate all of their time and attention to me. I don't think it's too much.
And a little parade as well.
A little, small little parade. Like,
and nobody sees plastic. Because nobody is to overshadow Audrey's day.
No.
But anyway, so, you had a little party the next day, didn't you?
I did. Like, what we do in our house, you see, we have a cluster of birthdays. They start at the end of August and they literally run through August, September, October. So my mum does have this happy birthday banner that goes up on the wall at the end of August and it literally stays there until November. Yeah. Like, and we just all have our little birthday. Now, we have a kiddie's birthday party, in case anyone's wondering. That's what it is, like birthday cake and...
Yeah.
Like, that's my birthday. That's everybody's birthday, not just
and
mine.
And you all
that's
had the t-shirts, didn't you? You had the Turtles t-shirts.
Hugh was absolutely delighted with this. So we put on our Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle t-shirts and then we went to that fair again. I went to that the flea market in Fishbury. It's really good. And we went in and got Hugh again some original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle characters. They're like 30 years old. So he was thrilled because I can't get Shredder anywhere. If anyone's listening, Shredder is impossible to get. And April O'Neil is impossible to get. But we managed to get Shredder and Splinter and this turtle that's like really rare. And it's called Scumbag. The turtle is called, like, he's a villain and he's called Scumbag. We got
Scumbag.
Him. Yeah, I know. It took 30 years ago. It was a different time. But we got him. And so.
Oh, he was actually, the original one, Scumbag.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember
1990.
Him?
Yeah, 1990. He looks like Superfly, but he's not Superfly. But anyway, we got him. So we had a lovely time. We floated around. I didn't buy any clothes there, but it was nice. And then I had my cake. And then I got my presents. And then I got these very fancy new earphones, which is why I sound so wonderful on this podcast
so
right now.
Wonderful. I sound so wonderful. Well, good. I'm delighted. I'm delighted that you actually had your party and all, because, you know, God help everybody, I'd say, if you didn't get your
I know. There are times when you have to realise, am I self-indulgent?
Yeah, you realise that after you've gotten everything you wanted and your brand new headphones and everything.
Only but anyway, was I a bit much yesterday?
Not maybe. Not at all. Listen, you're entitled to be a princess one day of the year. But anyway, Going on to the next bit of celebrity news that happened this week.
Yes.
Come here. Holly Willoughby and this ploy to kidnap and murder her. Now, if you don't know what this is about, right? So Holly was on this morning presenting as she does on Wednesday. On Thursday, she was pulled from the show because the police had foiled this plan that this guy, Gavin Plum, was going to kidnap her, murder her. Apparently, he had conspired with another fellow over in America who was going to fly over. They had it all arranged. Now, the thing is that Gavin Plum is about 35 stone, I think. Not that that matters, right? But he was on a show as well about weight loss and stuff. Like, he had said previously that he can't leave his house because he's so overweight and everything. So I was like, oh, in God's name, is he going to kidnap her, right? But anyway, maybe that's why he got your man from America, right? But apparently, it was as... the whole thing was planned and it was as imminent as next week, like that they were planning on doing it. So he's been arrested. He's been denied bail now, I think, and they're going to be charging him or whatever next week. But Holly has come out now. Well, she hasn't said, but she's taken indefinite leave now from this morning. What are you? Is your take on this? Because there's some people are saying, oh my God, isn't that awful? There's other people saying this was all made up because Holly
I think it's made up.
Do you?
Yeah. And even that article I shared with you today, and it was that Philip Schofield had reached out to her in her time of need, extending the hand. Stop it. It's all absolute nonsense. You know, my sister used to go on about the Illuminati all the time, and I used to be like, whatever, complete nonsense. Like, we spoke about it here before. Mm. And it's like basically people selling their soul to the devil for the fame and the fortune. The more this shit goes on, the likes of the Schofield and the Holly Willoughbys, I'm like, it's bloody real, and they would sell their soul to the devil for a bit of fame and a bit of fortune. I don't believe any of it was real. And I'm the one normally talking you out of the conspiracy, but right now I'm like, it is all bullshit. And it's somehow it's meant to salvage this relationship between Holly and Philip and set them up with a nice clean slate, as though they are two survivors, people that have survived the atrocities of the British media and the British public, and they've overcome it all, and their fans will be there for them. Absolute bollocks. I couldn't think of a better word there. I hate saying it
because I know you don't like her, right? And listen, the majority of people don't like her, but Katie Hopkins had a video up again, and it's a real...
I didn't see it.
You need to go see it there. Hang on. Excuse me, sorry.
This is how you know we don't edit our podcast.
Yeah, I'm just having a sneeze bit. But Katie Hopkins, right, put up this video, and it was all like, she was taking the make out of Holly, and she was like, oh, I'm Holly Willoughby, and you know, that big fat man there that weighs 40 stone, he's my stalker. Oh, he's chasing me. He's coming to get me, blah, blah, blah. And I was watching it. I started watching it, and I was going, ah, that's lousy. And then I was going, do you know, she's making a bit of sense. And I hate saying this because the woman is poison, like Katie Hopkins.
I know.
But lately, some of her videos, if you go onto her TikTok and watch some of her videos, they're a bit like, oh.
But I think if you throw enough shit at the wall, something's going to stick. And she just throws a lot of shit at the wall. But on this occasion, I genuinely believe this is a totally concocted nonsense. I don't believe any of it. I think it's all made up.
Would you go to those extremes, though? I mean, and ITV as well are paying for police to protect her and everything. ITV are obviously in on it, so if it is all...
But sure, ITV, look at the cover-up they put in play for Philip Schofield for years. Like, they were completely complicit in what was going on there. And we still never got to talk about it, because once your man threatened to off himself, it was off limits and we weren't allowed to talk about it anymore.
Yeah, you know you're not.
So I think, yes, they would go to these lengths. And there's no lengths that they won't go to. If you look at all the craziest scandals, the Epstein, I'm talking about big Epstein's Island, all this kind of stuff. Look at how many huge players were involved in covering up all of those atrocities. Yeah. I don't think there's anything that these people, the level of fame and the level of money that is at play here, I can't believe I'm so like convinced of this conspiracy, but that is total nonsense. I don't buy any of it. I'd actually love to know what people think. Please.
Yeah, I would as well, because I'm wondering, why would she do this? It's not like her career was over. Like, she had her way back. I know, like, she's really dipped in the popularity polls and whatever, but she had her job. Like, why would she need to go to these extremes? That poor fella Gavin Plum, like, obviously he's getting a payout as well, but like, what if he's charged and jailed and everything? Like,
well, he could just be collateral damage. He could just be someone that nobody cares about. He might just be the victim in this situation. He could be Now, he may have been a weirdo. He may have been sending emails. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he's entirely innocent in it. But the dramatization of it all, I don't believe it. I don't. And I know she was the people's princess for so long. Like, she was beautiful. She's elegant. She's sweet. She's all of these things. She had that primetime slot on TV for ages. Even though she still had a job, she couldn't schake off the damage that the Phillip Schofield saga had caused her. Like, she did fall out of favor. Like,
yeah, she did.
So now they need to make her a victim again. Poor Holly, and she's so beautiful and so vulnerable and so scared. And she's building a bridge there with Philip. And sure, when we put life into perspective like this, when your life is literally on the line, it just makes you reevaluate. And I just think it's complete nonsense.
Yeah.
I don't.
Because it would make you reevaluate if that really did happen. And
of course.
I mean, Audrey, we're fairly big time now. I mean, we've been nominated for Listener's Choice. Do you know what I mean? If I walked out my door there now and Fat Bastard from Austin Powers was outside the door, I'd be like, oh, I have to retire from the podcast world. Like, do you know what I mean? If you genuinely had a stalker like that, there was a definite threat that someone was going to kidnap you and murder you, would you not go, do you know what? I have my money made. I have my lovely house. I have my family. I don't need this crap. I'm done with
children. How much money do you need? When is enough enough? Yeah. Like, she's set up to live out her life very happily. She's more than enough money there for her family, the kids, the next generation. They can all live very comfortably on what they've already earned. It is like that selling the soul to the devil thing. It's like a weird greed, a need, a hunger, a dependency on it. Like, she cannot handle either because she was so adored for so long. I don't think she can handle that. There's even a few people that don't like her so much anymore. I think it really affects, and Phillip Schofield certainly can't handle it because he was Mr. Pitch Perfect, like every day on the primetime morning slot. So there's a pair of them in this. They need to make victims out of themselves now.
It was very quick, wasn't it, with the articles coming out that old Phillip extends the hand of friendship to Holly in her time of need and all this, like. Jesus,
I don't know. I'd love to know what people think about it because I'm so skeptical of it. I don't buy it for a minute. Like,
yeah, we might put a poll up there on the Instagram page in a minute just to get your take on it. But it, personally, if it was anyone else and you had the fame and the fortune that Holly Willoughby had, would you not just go, this is too far now, I'm done with showbiz. Thanks very much, ITV. Here's my notice. Thanks and good luck. I'm gone.
Because you've got family there as well. Like,
that's it. So is she just the kind that needs to be the centre of attention? Do you know what I mean? Her home life could be shite. Like, do you know what I mean? Maybe she thrives on the attention and everything else. But I don't know. Any normal person, I think, if that happened to you, you'd be like, no, thanks. Thank you. No, thank you.
Or you go the other way with it, like get your man banged up, come out and give your interviews and be like, ha, I'm not scared and I've got my security and I'm not bothered. Like, but she's not. She wants to be the damsel in distress. She wants to be the locked away in the tower waiting on somebody to come and save her. And is that somebody going to be Phillip Schofield? Christ, God help me if it is. Like, I'm not. It's so, so ridiculous. Like, I don't buy it.
I hope it doesn't go like that, because if it goes like that and it's going to be a brand new show for Phil and Holly, you know, the Survivors show,
then
this was all completely set up. Like, and it's awful to think that anyone would actually go to those lengths, like, to do something like that. But again, look, people do, I suppose.
Yeah.
And now, then, the other, you're very skeptical this week as well, because, you know, on Netflix, The Beckham documentary came out. Now, I haven't watched all of it. I'm only like two episodes in or something. But you put up, I think this was mid, why is nobody giving me attention on my birthday?
It might have been, actually.
Off on a rant about Beckham and all the affairs he's had. And I was watching it and I was going, all the affairs? Like, I thought it was just Rebecca Lewis.
No, as if. Okay, first of all,
I think you're very anti-men and very anti-poor David Beckham. What did he ever do to?
How dare you tar me with an anti-man brush when we're talking about a philanderer and a cheater?
How do you know?
Well, here we go. Right. First of all, I actually loved the documentary and I would highly recommend it. I really enjoyed it. I watched episode into episode. We were like 1 and 2 in the morning going to bed because... I really enjoyed it and would highly recommend it. I thought they came across as a couple that's very much united. So I'm not disputing that. She absolutely adores him. There's no question of it. She she loves him. Like 100% she loves him, and they are a good couple. That wasn't really what I was getting at. And I appreciate they met very young. They grew up together in a certain degree. They were young. They were early 20s, like kind of meeting together, and they got pregnant young enough. And, you know, they had to live out their private lives in front of the cameras. So I'm not, it wasn't a case of being anti-men. Actually, I was anti-bullshit romantic commentary from people that had watched the documentary, because in the comment sections of posts online, there was this stuff about how they showed traditional family values, that he was, what was it? He was a truly wonderful human being, that they stood by each other through thick and thin. Okay, so there was a lot of this kind of commentary, and I kind of went, okay, hold on now. They are solid. I do believe they love each other. I do think they're a good couple. All of that still stands. He had the Rebecca Lewis affair. He can't confirm or deny it. Someone says, did he admit it in the documentary? No, he can't. He's never going to admit it. But he also, by the way, can't deny it because there is too much evidence. So if he were to deny it, Rebecca Lewis apparently could take a case out against him because he would be calling her a liar. But apparently there's video, picture. I mean, solid. It's solid. She got 150 grand for selling her story way back then. Now, we're not Rebecca Lewis fans because she went off with a married man, well known he was a married man, and then she sold her story to the highest bidder and then milked every little bit of reality TV show fame. So not pro Rebecca Lewis, but it did happen and there was evidence there. Okay, so Victoria chose to work through that. That's her choice and that's fine. I respect that. That's a choice that she made. They had children and she chose to forgive and to work through and continue with the relationship. Fair enough. That's a choice that she made. But there's other incidences whereby he supposedly have affairs. So one was with a lady, I think it was called Sarah Marbeck. She had some evidence that she was able to show, but it was mostly like text and stuff like that. But there's another person that had got £40,000 for their story. The reason they didn't get more is because they weren't willing to disclose themselves. So they didn't do a Rebecca Lewis on it, but they did have solid evidence. And they said at the time that she had a relationship with David Beckham, she genuinely felt as though he was in an open relationship, that it wasn't a hugely secret affair that she had with him. She attended some public engagements alongside him as his guest. She said, like, you know, in those circles. So you're going back years now. It is years ago, and it would have been. She said, like, they were living at that time kind of independent lives. They were in two separate countries. They usually spent 1 week together out of every month. She was his 3-week-long companion, and then he would go back to his family. She was okay with that situation. And in her opinion, she thought there was an understanding there, that she felt it were a known, that she didn't think she was a secret, like that she was in his company. That was her story. So there's all of this kind of stuff. Now, maybe they did have an open relationship. Personally, I can't imagine how.
No, I don't think so. But the thing with all these women that are coming out saying it, they all got money for saying what
they got
said.
Money. But you see, you don't pay for nothing.
How credible is that, though?
Well, it's credible enough, because if I came out tomorrow and said, oh, I also had an affair with David Beckham, someone's not going to go, here's 40 grand. Tell
but
us
they
about
might.
Your
they might say to buy your story. They very well might.
They buy your story, but they want to see pictures. They want to see text messages. They want to see evidence. They want to see CCTV. They want to see videos. Nobody's just handing out 40 grand for any Egypt that's willing to go, I had an affair with David Beckham. Like, there has to be evidence. But if you watch the, I don't want to spoiler alert the documentary, because it is really, I really enjoyed it. But definitely the whole world revolves around David Beckham. And me and Dave were talking about this a lot, because we were actually getting into this thing of like sports stars. So David Beckham was identified as a young kid, not much older than Charlie, not much older than Hugh. He had that talent like so early on. He was spotted at a very early age and he was kind of coached. And then through his whole family's life, his parents and his siblings actually kind of revolved around him and his opportunities, because he had to go to the special coaching and he had to go to different camps. And, you know, so from a very early age in David's life, and not just him, most big, huge international sports there, but the family life tends to revolve around them and their potential success. And they go to all these like kind of camps and schools and coaches, and everything revolves around them. Like, usually for their siblings, it can be a bit rough because one parent is often with them, you know, like, so he had this life whereby he was amazing. I never cared about football, but I watched the documentary and went, wow, like, he's magic. He's a good looking chap. So he's very good looking. He was exceptional footballer. He had the adoration. Men loved him even more than women did. Yeah. Like, it's fascinating. Like, he was such an icon. Whatever hairstyle he had, the lads wanted the hairstyle. Actually, he has Victoria to thank for an awful lot of the decisions that were made early on, where regarding to how they dressed and the events that they attended. She kind of elevated him into another level of stardom. So he was a superstar on the pitch. There was no doubt about that. And then she introduced him into like
brands
a kind of a different
and like
world.
The fashion and everything. Like, yeah. No, that's so sarong. Remember the sarong that he wore?
Yeah.
Like, that was a bit, and I'd say she was delighted with herself with that. Like, but do you remember, actually, was that the time where they both kind of had the same hairstyle? Victoria
That's
and
right.
David Beckham, yeah, they both, he was in the sarong and everything. Yeah, that was gas. Yeah,
now,
but
if you watch it, Ferguson hates her, because I suppose in his opinion, she's making an absolute mockery of a lad's game, a man's game, and she's this fella parading in his head, this fella parading around the sarong, and this guy's wearing lip gloss, and he's spiking his hair, and you know, he's a prima donna, and like, he's using football matches as an opportunity to showcase new haircuts and all this kind of stuff. So Ferguson couldn't stand Victoria Beckham. So Victoria Beckham was kind of like a Meghan Markle of the time. The British media really like vilified her, said she was miserable, she was like a poker for art, she was a you know, an absolute misery. So even when he did have the affair, there was a kind of a, in the British media, well, would you blame him, your one's a feckin' misery, like, she's no crack, you know, like, it was very rough. So no, look, it is a brilliant documentary. I do believe they've come through it all and whatever, but it was the commentary of the true family values, not so much the commentary of the they stood together through thick and thin. Well, I think she stood by him, certainly through thick and thin. And I also think she sacrificed her own career in favour of his. And that worked out for them overall. But I mean, she did step back. She did kind of disappear. She was a Spice Girl, then she wasn't a Spice Girl. Like, she, when she went to LA, she enjoyed the celebrity social circles, but she brought out fashion lines and stuff like that. But she had to make huge shifts to her own career. So that his could be prioritized. And I don't know if he ever really appreciated that, because I think his whole life was like that, where people were always kind of sacrificing certain things to facilitate his career. So, no, look, I said, brilliant. I loved it. I wasn't being anti-man. I was just being anti-sentiment, anti, like, this silly. Because if it was the other way around, if she had been cheating on him or having an affair, people would have humiliated him if he chose to stand by her. Like, if an affair like that was acknowledged, where someone came out with videos and CCTV and text messages and all this kind of stuff, it's all the story, and he chose to stand by her,
like, one affair, if we're talking about the whole Rebecca Lewis thing, say if it was Victoria and she had this affair with one person, I think one affair, not saying that you could forgive it, but maybe if that was her choice to forgive it or his choice, then that's fine. But it's when you hear that there could have been recurrent affairs and things like that. Now, that's the thing where I'd be a bit like, oh, I don't know about that now, because just the fact that these women were getting paid as well, like, it would put a doubt in my mind. And he seems so wholesome and everything. Like, I believe everything I see. Like when I watch the documentary, I'm like, ah, he's lovely. He's lovely. And she had a fine career as well. Like, she's huge in the fashion business now.
I know, but if you look at the wag world, there is a culture there whereby you turn blind eyes. Look at Colleen Rooney, Jesus Christ. Yeah. But not just her. I think Cheryl Cole did ditch your man, Ashley Cole, now when he cheated. But for most of them, there seems to be almost like a three strike rule. You know, I'll turn the blind eye to a few indiscretions until you've done the one that's one too many. But that wag culture is not great, because it's almost like there is a sense of entitlement or an expectation that if you're going to get with a football player, you need to be prepared. So I'm not shocked if there was multiple affairs. Look, they did work through it, and that much is true. Yeah. But it definitely took more for her. There was more sacrifice on her end. There was more kind of forgiveness on her end, and more of a willing for her to prioritize him over herself. That was all that I was kind of trying to say, really. But brilliant documentary, really.
Yeah, I must finish it. I'm only on like the second episode now, but like that now, I'm like, oh, he's lovely. Oh, he's lovely. He'd do no wrong now in my eyes. He's lovely.
Wait, you see, they're building up to the affair episode. They do just touch on it. Like, in the one before it, I don't know what episode was what, but he's getting into this, how lonely he was in a foreign country, and how his family wasn't with him, and he was very lonely, and he didn't have the language, he missed it. And you can see it kind of playing up, and I was like, next episode, affairs episode, and it was. The very next episode was the, you know, the revelations come out in the media, and you knew, so he's definitely set the stage for
To be fair, right, like, back then, like the British media is ruthless anyway. I mean, you only have to look at Harry and Meghan Markle. But what they did to him as well, like back in the day as well.
That was awful too. Especially how young he was.
They were only 20. Like when all that happened, they were like 20. Not the affair, like, but you know, the football. They were young. They were 22 and 23 or something.
Kids. They really look like kids. And it makes you feel really old, actually, because you're looking at it going, he actually looks like a baby. Look, he's really cute. He is a good looking fella. And like, he does have the big doe eyes. And he was devastated because apparently Ferguson had almost brought him up like a second father, like had taken such an interest in him. And then they just dropped him. It was brutal. It was vicious. It was awful. And you're looking at his face looking crestfallen, like devastated, so hurt and so wounded and confused by it all. And oh yeah, you can't help. You do watch it, gun. That was cruel. There's no denying that. But watch it and see what you think. You'll know the episode because you'll see the one where he's building up to how lonely he was, how sad he was, how confused he was, how, you know, he'd go home to a room all by himself at night. Aww. And obviously, you know, God, and you're like, it's the next episode. It's the next, and they don't really go into it. They just talk about how stressful it was for them, how it put them under so much stress.
So he never actually admits, like, you know, that happened.
No, it's really well done. It's really well done. So it talks about the headlines and then it will show him. He does a lot of this now, staring into the camera or staring away wistfully as though like he's deep in thought, like as if he's remembering it all. Like they'll do a lot of that kind of thing. And so they show like newspaper headlines and they'll show the paparazzi chasing them. And then they'll show poor Victoria. I mean, I love her now. After watching it, I'm a huge Victoria fan. She got a rough deal. Like
she did get such a rough deal, and she had this posh spice and she's always so odd and she never smiles and she doesn't eat and she's this and she's that. She did get a bloody, like, I think this is the most I've ever seen Victoria Beckham even speaking. In this documentary, obviously, even in interviews and stuff like that, she kind of came across a bit standoffish, like. But she's just going to show, like, you don't know people at all. Like, she's actually Vicky alone, you warm to her,
you really do. Like, so they never say it did happen. They never say it didn't happen. They just talk about this period of their lives and how stressful it was,
and the after effects and everything. Yeah. Yeah.
They have to leave it there, like, but that's all.
You know, the next generation now, because apparently Brooklyn Beckham, so their oldest son, he's married to this one, Nicola Peltz, is it Nicola Peltz Beckham,
and she's worth a fortune. Oh, in fact, they had to sign a prenup, and the prenup was protecting her, not him. Yeah. Like, she's the big money bag there, yeah.
But apparently, Netflix are after them now to have their own reality show. Isn't that gas? That just makes me feel so old. So it does.
Because my sister and my nephew, they tell me that Brooklyn Beckham apparently is a little bit of, he's mocked, like that he's not cool and people don't think he's a bit cool. And it must be very hard, I mean, to live in the shadow of your iconic parents, like, in fairness, Posh Spice and Beck, Posh and Becks. I remember going around college with Dave and I was like, we like Posh and Becks. It must be very hard to live in the shadow of that level of icon. And so apparently, no, like, we're too old to realise, but apparently, no, he's not a bit cool, according to the young people. He's a little bit of a parody character,
I'd say he's all right, though. I'd say he's had a grand life. I'd say he'll be fine.
But they were saying something like he made it. The joke is apparently like that he made a bloody sandwich in the air fryer or something, and then he starts saying he wanted to be a chef, or like that he's definitely like a nepo baby, you know, like that he's not really done.
I actually remember something about him wanting to be a chef, actually. I know they're on Instagram. I think, I don't know if I follow them on Instagram or something, but they're sickening. I love you so much, baby. Oh, like, go away now, don't be annoying me, in all fairness. Like, they're married now over here. They'd want to be cutting that out, like. Anyway, come here to me. We better finish up there now anyway. But what we're going to do is we're going to put up a poll on the Instagram page to get your opinions on Holly Willoughby. Was it real? Was it fake? And also as well, just a little gentle reminder, if you'd like to go over and vote for us in the Listener's Choice in the Irish Podcast Awards, please, please do. And again, thanks so much to everyone that actually voted for us. And thank you to everyone that might vote for us for after listening to this. So we will head off and we will be back with you again next week. Bye.
Bye.